All right. Not sure what. Got some Awana leftovers here. I don't want to get confused and start reading the Awana notes. Anyway, good to be together. Like Justin said, we are just days from Christmas. We've been looking at Advent. We've been talking about Advent, and that's that the expectation, the waiting for the coming Savior. For the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. And Rob's been going through several aspects of the Advent, of that waiting period, that waiting. And today we're going to talk about another angelic visitor. Last week, Rob talked about angels visiting Zechariah, Mary, and Joseph, and the message that he had for them, telling them what was coming, that they might be encouraged in their faith and confidence in God's faithfulness. Today we're going to talk about an angelic visit that was not an expectation, but an announcement of arrival. Announcement of arrival. We're going to talk about the angels appearing to those shepherds that are so much remembered in this Christmas season, this Christmas story. So let's pray and ask God to bless our time and as we look at His Word. So God, we thank You. Thank You for a wonderful day. Thank You for this day that You've made. Thank You for this season that we celebrate Your coming, Your becoming flesh, and walking among us. God, You became flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. And today we want to hear from You what we might learn from Your Word and from these words that You share. So we thank You and trust You today. Give us ears to hear, hearts to listen. In Jesus' name, amen. So it's very, very familiar story, the shepherds in the fields. We sing carols about it. We the Christmas pageant almost always has sheep and shepherds in it. And I'm going to just read here in Luke 2. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And so those are very familiar words at this time of year. And it goes on that then a whole multitude of heavenly hosts, of angels, appeared, and they said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." And today I want to talk about that word, peace. That's a Christmas word, isn't it? When we see Christmas decorations, oftentimes there's joy and peace. We see that, we hear that in carols. Peace is a word we associate with Christmas. And these angels, that was a big part of their message, peace on earth. Peace on earth. You know, Jesus didn't come to a peaceful world. He didn't come to a little town of Bethlehem. How still we see thee lie. They were there because the Roman emperor had told them to come so that they could be counted and taxed. They were an oppressed people. God's people were under the thumb of Rome. It wasn't a peaceful world that He came to. And so what were those angels talking about? Peace on earth. With Jesus coming, did all wars cease? Did the Romans become friendly? Did those shepherds' lives change? Did troubles stop? I don't believe it did. So what is this peace He was talking about? What happened? Why did they say that? You know, peace is something that, if you had to describe it, it's calm, right? It's a settled feeling. It's It's feeling secure, feeling a sense of well-being, that things are okay. Tranquil. There's absence of confusion or conflict. That's what peace is, right? And the desire for peace is universal. We all want it, right? We all want peace. We all want peace. I think most people want peace in the world, right? That's a bit of a pipe dream, I think, it seems, if history is any indication. But we want peace, and we want peace within ourselves, personal peace. I don't know anyone who really wants to live a confused and agitated life. You know, anybody wake up in the morning and go, boy, I hope I really have a tense, anxious day today. You know, I'm looking forward to just being agitated. You know, that's not true. We all want to have a peaceful life. We want to have undisturbed lives. A couple of weeks ago, you know, there wasn't much time between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And we tend to do our Christmas preparation, gift shopping and planning, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, right? And there wasn't much time this year. It was close. And we like to give gifts. It's a blessing of this time of year to give gifts to those we love. We've got 9 grandkids and a bunch of family, and we like to give gifts, but that's work. And it's planning and deciding and prioritizing. And I told Nancy a couple weeks ago, I said, I don't think I like the weeks leading up to Christmas. I mean, it sounds kind of like a humbug thing to say, doesn't it? This is really not enjoyable. And, you know, that's kind of discouraging to have those feelings, those thoughts. And sometimes in my mind, it says, let's just not bother about Christmas. You know, let's just jump over to January. But what kind of pastor would say that? You know? But because peace is elusive. It slips out of our hands pretty easily. It's hard to grasp. It's hard to keep. Think about it for a minute. How long can you go where you feel calm? You feel a sense of well-being? You feel that settledness that describes peace? How long can you go before something comes along that upsets that? Right? That you know, you're in a good place. Things are settled. Things are in control. And then stuff happens, right? There's a bumper sticker like that, sort of like that. Stuff happens. Trouble comes and finds you, right? Trouble comes and finds you. So oftentimes it's things outside of our control, right? It's things outside of our control that disturb our peace. In fact, it's against the law. There's a law against disturbing your peace, right? But there's things that disturb our peace. You know, it can be a relationship trouble. Someone that we love is struggling with something. A health crisis. Local news. This week there was tragic news in our state. Tragic news in Madison. What a tragedy. What a senseless violence. And that disturbs our peace. You just have to open the paper to have your peace significantly disturbed. It's just easily lost. Peace is elusive. And sometimes it's things inside me. It has nothing to do with what's going on around me, but inside me disturbs my peace. We're going along and all of a sudden something comes up and I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do what I need to do or handle what's coming up. I'm confused. I'm not sure what to do, and so I'm anxious about something. And all of a sudden, my peace is gone. Peace is gone. Oftentimes, that comes because I don't recognize my limitations. We think it's all up to us, right? It's all up to us to keep things under control, keep things smooth, to accomplish what we need to accomplish, and sometimes that's beyond me. It's beyond you. Sometimes I'm incompetent. Can't do what I need to do. I don't have what it takes. I say or do dumb things. It disturbs my peace. I think, oh, there I did it again. But you know, we go to great lengths to try to get peace and try to maintain it. Go to great lengths. We try to eliminate all the stressors, all the things that cause us to be unsettled, the things that upset, things that disturb our peace. I had a friend once, a guy I used to work with, he told me one day, he said, you know, I'm trying to get rid of all the stress in my life. He has changed his job. He stopped doing certain things as I'm getting rid of all the stress in my life. I'm not sure how that worked out for him. But that's what we want to do. Sometimes we want to ignore things that might disturb our peace. You know, just keep your fingers in your ears. La, 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 I ain't listening. You know, we want to, don't disturb my peace. Everything is great. There's a t-shirt. I think that next slide. Let me give me that. No bad vibes. This drives me, I see this, it drives me crazy. I mean, no bad vibes. Can you imagine wearing that sweatshirt? If I wore that sweatshirt and someone near and dear to me, maybe my wife, had something bothering her, no bad vibes. Don't want to hear it. Talk to somebody else. I mean, this is kind of a... But we do that. We try to keep those things away. Good vibes only, no bad vibes. Or this next, to fulfill, you can just put blinders on. Seriously, this is a perfect ensemble, right? No bad vibes, and I'm not looking. Blinders. Blinders are something that they use on horses, right? To keep them from being disturbed. I read about blinders, and it fits our situation perfectly if we're trying to maintain our peace. It says it blocks the surrounding views for the horse, preventing it from seeing too many chaotic things happening. The horse can stay focused on the task at hand and will avoid getting any frights. Isn't that what we sometimes want to do? I just want to put blinders on. I'm doing my thing. I'm taking care of my business, and I don't want anything disturbing my peace. Or we build a very high wall, or move into the wilderness. No television, no newspaper, no internet, no phone, and maybe there I can be peaceful. So we go to great lengths, people go to great lengths to get peace and to keep it. And kind of, you know, this is part of cultivating indifference. Sometimes I'm tempted to cultivate or encourage indifference. Like, it's easier to be indifferent than to care, right? Because caring for others' difficulties or for things that are going on around me can be disturbing, can disturb my peace. But is indifference the way we should... Is that the answer? To cultivate indifference? I don't want my peace disturbed. That's a difficult and, I think, a selfish way to live. I don't want to do that. So how do we as Christ followers find peace? This peace that these shepherds were... that these angels pronounced to these shepherds... Peace on earth, said that this Messiah that was coming, this Jesus, this baby, was coming to bring peace. How do we find that? Without building a high wall or wearing blinders. How do we do that? You know, the Apostle Paul called it a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. It's third on the list. It's a fruit of God's Spirit. Is that just kind of Christian wishful thinking? that we can have peace in this world? Are we expected to face everything with a great big smile? Oh, it's great. It's great. Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. It's so much fun. Is that what we have? Take every difficulty as a blessing? Is that the answer? Never have a discouraging or agitated thought or word? Is that what's the life, the Christian life? You know, Jesus had trouble. Talked about the end of his life when he's in the garden, hours before he was arrested and killed. It said he was in agony. Agony is not peaceful. He says he was greatly distressed and troubled. He was troubled. Paul, the Apostle Paul, he struggled. He had cares. He cared for people. He was spreading the gospel through the whole world at that time. And that created cares. He cared about people. He struggled for their good. He encountered trouble like shipwrecks and getting beaten up, left for dead. He encountered trouble. Jesus came to bring a new kind of peace, a new kind of peace. So just looking at this, it took me to a place, a time right at the end of Jesus' life. So we're going to jump ahead 30-some-odd years from the arrival of Jesus and the proclamation of peace to those shepherds to Jesus was hours away from being arrested. And he's talking to his disciples. In the book of John, there's chapter 14, 15, 16 is a time when Jesus was talking to his followers, this small group of people that had been following him for several years, and he's given them kind of his last instructions or his last encouragement before he's going to be leaving. He's going to no longer be walking with them physically. And I think there's a few things we can learn from this about this kind of peace that he came to give. In John 14, 27, it says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. Let not your hearts be troubled." Troubled, disturbed, agitated. That's what we like to avoid. That's the opposite of peace. And he says it's not the kind of peace that the world gives. And I thought, what kind of peace does the world give? And just a couple of things came to my mind. One is that it's the peace the world offers, the peace that we can accomplish in our lives in this world, is circumstantial, right? When we get our situation sorted out, when we get the stressors reduced, when we get things under control so that we are settled and calm and feel safe and secure, that's the peace we can hope for here. There's peace as long as we can control things and my circumstances are pleasant. I have what I need. I'm not threatened. I'm at peace with those I love and confident in the future. Secure in my ability to handle what comes my way. There I go. But that's my circumstances. And circumstances change. And so the second thing I know about the peace that the world offers is it's tentative. It's temporary. It's elusive, like we said. It's prone to evaporate at any time. You know, one things are going along fine and one phone call can... Whew, all your peace is gone. One news story, your peace is gone. It's tentative. It's tentative. So jumping ahead a couple chapters in chapter 16 is the first thing that I want to... There's three things that I think Jesus talks about in these three chapters that give us a sense of the source of this peace that he he is talking about bestowing, basically, on his disciples. It says in verse 16 of 20 of, oh, let's see where. Right, 16:32 says, "Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I'm not alone, for the Father is with me. I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble, tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world." It says, you'll have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Those are true words. Jesus was about to be deserted by his friends. He was about to be deserted by his friends. He was talking about trouble. And, you know, when we come to Jesus, when we come and accept the forgiveness that he offers, the reconciliation with God that he offers, he doesn't pull out his peace wand and grant us everything smooth now. It's all rainbows and unicorns. That's not the way it works. At least, I haven't seen that. There are Christians who will tell you that gosh, if you're following Jesus, then everything goes well. You'll prosper. You'll have plenty. You won't be sick. I don't believe that's what Jesus said. We're going to have trouble in this world. He said it right there. You can't say it much more plainly. In this world, you'll have trouble. Thank you, Jesus, for being straight. But in him we'll have peace. So how can he say that? How can he say that still living in this troubled and troubling world, how can he say that in me you'll have peace? Well, jumping back to John 14. John 14:16. "And I will ask the Father." Okay, so this is Jesus. Last night he's with his disciples, giving them some final encouragement. "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." So I think the first thing that Jesus talks about throughout these three chapters is that he's going to send the Spirit. And he calls the Spirit the helper. I like that. Because then farther down in 20:26, he says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you." He's going to send a helper. That word, and this is God's Holy Spirit that he promised. As we choose to follow him, he gives us his Spirit to indwell us. The word is parakletos, and someone's called along to aid, to support. In a broad sense, it's a helper, a comforter, who provides encouragement and support. I love that God's Spirit is our helper, coming alongside to be an encouragement to us. Oftentimes we think of one work of the Holy Spirit is to convict of sin. Okay, so that's the Holy Spirit's going to tell me when I'm messing up. It's primarily as a helper. We need a helpers. We need a helper. Maybe think of when this summer, when many of you know we received a playground, but it came in hundreds of pieces. And before it came, before I saw it, I was foolish enough to volunteer to try to help get it assembled. And when I saw the pieces, after we unloaded the truck and spread the pieces all over the ground, if you remember, all over the volleyball court, there were just pieces all over the place. And I looked at it, and I looked at the minimal instructions, and I thought, what have we done? Or more specifically, what have I done volunteering to help make this happen? But you know what happened? Some folks came alongside that were ready and willing to help put that together. And they were individuals with a variety of skills and a variety of equipment and encouraging words. And together we were able to do it. Amazing. But that was with helpers. Someone came alongside and said, yeah, I'll help you with this. Never, ever, ever could have done that alone. And we're not alone in this life as Christians. We're not alone. We have a helper that indwells us directly from God. His Spirit indwells us. That is amazing. And Jesus, like I read earlier, Jesus was about to be left alone. He said, you're going to all scatter, you're going to go to your homes, you're going to leave me alone, but I won't be alone. He said, the Father's with me. We aren't alone in this world. We aren't alone in the circumstances we encounter. When trouble finds us, we're not alone. That's one of the reasons Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. Because he was going to send the Spirit. The second thing is, through Jesus, he's given us direct access to the Father. That's another theme that goes through these three chapters. That in Jesus, we have direct access to God. In John 16, 26, he says, in that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. In other words, he says, you'll ask God for things, but you're not going to ask me, and I'm going to go to my Father and ask. You can go directly to God. Go directly to God. I do not say that you will ask the Father on your behalf. I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed I came from God. The Father himself loves you. He also said in John 15, he says, no, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. We have direct access to God. God's listening. God's available to us. His Spirit indwells us, and we can go directly to him with our needs and our requests. When we encounter things that disturb our peace, and we will. I don't have to tell you that you'll encounter things every day that will disturb your peace. We can go to God with those things. We can go to him and he cares. And then the third thing that I noticed here that contributes to that peace is we have a certain future. We have a certain future. In John 14, 1 and 2, it says, let not your hearts be troubled. Again, there's that theme. Don't be troubled. And he's telling this to his disciples. It's interesting, as he's talking to these disciples, and he's telling them, don't be troubled. I'm giving you my peace I leave with you, over and over and over again. But what's he leaving them to? He's leaving them, he's physically leaving, they're going to encounter all kinds of difficulty coming up. Tradition tells us that all but one of them were killed for their faith. And so he's not saying, oh, it's going to be really good when I'm gone. Things are going to be rosy. Not the case. And yet he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. We have a certain future. By his death and resurrection, Jesus has secured a place for us with the Father, with God. We don't know exactly what that's going to be like. He says, I go to prepare a place for you, and I'll take you to be with me. We have a certain future beyond this life. Our future certain, regardless of what happens here. We know we have a place. You know, made me think of when travel has changed a lot. When our kids were young, we had friends that moved to the East Coast, and so we made several trips to the East Coast, and we would stop part way. And this was, believe it or not, before the internet. That it hasn't always existed, for those of you that are less than 30, I don't know. But so we would drive, and the way you found a place to stay, unless you had done some pre-arrangements by mail or the phone that on a cord in your kitchen, you would drive as long as you wanted to drive that day, and then you'd pull into a town and drive down the street looking for a hotel with a vacancy sign. That may sound prehistoric, but it's true. So you didn't know where you were going to stay. And so you'd look for a hotel that didn't look too expensive, but didn't look too shabby either. And then you'd stop and you'd go in and you'd talk to them and find a room. And that worked okay. But how great is it now when you're driving along and you go, I think we're going to make it to this town, and your co-pilot looks on the phone, finds a room, reads reviews, because you didn't get any reviews when you pulled into town. It didn't have anything else. Reads reviews, makes a reservation, looks at the pictures, makes a reservation. Oh, we got a room waiting for us. Certainty. That gives peace, doesn't it? Because when you pulled into town without a reservation, they might be all no vacancy signs. And you'd have to keep driving. You'd have to go another 100 miles, depending on what state you were in. So certainty breeds peace. Certainty fosters peace in our life. God is our rock and unchanging, immovable. He has guaranteed our future. Guaranteed our future. And I forfeit peace. I give up peace that I could have when I'm ignorant of or refuse to accept that God has plans for me. God has a plan for me. So how do we live in this world without building a wall of indifference, without wearing blinders or no bad vibes shirt? How do we find peace when things are upsetting, frightening, frustrating, discouraging? The Holy Spirit resides in us, in you, to help, to guide, to comfort in the midst of this life, regardless of what we encounter, regardless of the things that disturb our peace, and particularly in light of the things that disturb our peace. Oftentimes it's the time we experience God's grace the most clearly is when we encounter difficulties. When things are smooth, we don't need a comforter, right? We don't need a helper when things are smooth. I've got it all under control. I don't need help then. But when I encounter difficulty, that's when I need help. That's when God's grace is particularly clear. Second thing, we have direct access to God, to the Father. We have direct access to the Father. We're no longer servants, but a friend. In John 1, it says that we've been given the right to become children of God, daughters and sons of God. And we have a future that's certain. It's guaranteed. The Spirit is our deposit of that guarantee. So this baby we celebrate at Christmas came to give peace. Came to give peace, but not through smooth and pleasant circumstances. Not through guaranteeing that life is always going to go well. Not that there won't be circumstances that really throw us for a loop. But through himself, reconciling us to God, securing a place with the Father. C.S. Lewis said it well. He said, God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from himself. Apart from himself. Because it's not there. There's no such thing. The peace the world gives. Jesus said, I give you peace, but not like the world gives. Not that circumstantial, tentative peace, but he gives us a certain peace. A peace based on something more certain. Jesus said, I've told you these things, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Let's pray. God, we thank you. Thank you for the peace that you promised. God, help us to more and more understand what it is to find that peace, to access that peace, to take advantage of the peace that you offer. So often we wallow in our trouble because we don't go to you. We don't listen to your Spirit that speaks to us, is indwelling us. We think it's all up to us. God, we don't go to you, God, the Father, directly, and pour out our troubles and trust you for the help you give. And help us to learn what this means. Thank you, Jesus, that you came to give us peace with God, to secure that peace through your life, death, and resurrection. Thank you. Help us to understand these things more and more as we walk through this life. Help us as we celebrate this week, celebrate your arrival in the flesh, that we remember that this is not just a baby born in a stable, but a baby that grew to be the man who gave this message to his disciples. This peace I leave with you. So we thank you. Thank you for your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Just stand, I'll just give a blessing. This is a blessing from Numbers that Aaron was told, God told Aaron, this is how you're to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.